Holy Spirit.
And it makes the churches alive today. More alive. We need more of the Holy Spirit. Don't you agree? Hallelujah. Instead of kicking him out, you know, on the curb and thinking like, we don't have time for you. We got things we got to accomplish. I got to get these people out of here in 25 minutes. God would say, okay, but you're missing it. But God is good. I want to get out into the area of Acts. And today, we've already shared what it is. Acts 1. We find out that when Jesus was ascending, and he told them to wait. How many here find it very easy to wait? That's my gift. I can wait. No, it's not. We're all impatient people. But it says here that the promise that the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. This is Acts 1 and 4. Jesus is sharing. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and all the way to Janesville, Wisconsin. Hallelujah. So there's a purpose for the Holy Spirit to have come, and he continues to come. Amen. Into our lives, into our church, into our situation. He's my conduit to hear from that of God. How about you? God speaks to my spirit. It's through that of the Holy Spirit, and I'm speaking to him. And when we know not what to pray, we can pray in a heavenly language, that of tongues, and God knows what our requests, our things are, because I don't know about you, but there are so many times with people's needs and things that are going on, I don't know exactly what I need to pray about. Because it's just a mixed bag of everything. And so that's when I praise God for the gift of speaking in tongues. And I would encourage you to ask for your heavenly language and to be baptized with that. When you are not able or you haven't flowed in the tongues, does that mean you're not saved? No, it doesn't mean you're not saved. You're saved by that of the blood of Christ and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord. These things are all parts and evidences of things within your kingdom walk with him that he wants to give to you. So I would encourage you, and maybe we need to speak, and my fault as well, is speak more about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in that heavenly language, because I find it so prevalent and relevant for my walk with him. So anyway, we get back to this, that you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. And then we get into Acts 2:1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Acts 2:1. They were all in or with what? One accord. They were together. That's another thing that the enemy likes to do in our churches and our families and our nation, you name it, is to do what? Stir up, separate, division. The enemy, you know, we feel like in the times that, you know, you divide and conquer, right? That's how you go to war. You divide the forces and then you conquer them individually. Well, that's what evil is doing throughout our ages here upon this earth. He's dividing the people and he's conquering them one at a time. Because there is power in unity. There is power in one accord. You find in the business world and things of that nature, when they want their whole staff and they want their business and corporation to flow with power, they talk about synergy, getting all the people together, getting them all focused. This is what we want to do. This is what we want to accomplish. This is what we want to succeed in this year for our sales, for our business, for our growth. Then you get all your people from the up, down, all the way through the whole, whatever your organization is, and you try to get them into that purpose and your management and supervisors and all that, that synergy, energy of oneness, togetherness. The church of today needs synergy. We need the Holy Spirit and that oneness and working in what? One accord. We've got many churches out there that they've got too many cords. One accord is this: being unanimous, having mutual consent, being in agreement, having group unity, having one mind and a purpose. The disciples had intellectual unanimity and an emotional rapport. And they agreed in the newly founded church. And that's where the power comes from. In our churches of today is that of unity. And the enemy knows that. And if he can divide the churches with squabbles with the pastors and leaderships, squabbles in the family unity, you name it. Squabbles with what color the carpet should be, what kind of light bulbs to use, you know. But he will try to find something to cause division. And it is upon our part as followers of Christ to know that I remain strong and in one accord with my church. I remain one accord with that of my God. I can't sit there and take my God and say, well, I like these 12 things you offer me, but I don't want to follow these other 8 things because that means I got to really surrender myself. But I'm going to follow this part of the world, and I got more of you than the world, but it's okay if I got more of you than the world, right, God? And God's going to say, nope, that's not right. You've got two or one thing. I have a thing of the world in your walk, in your spirit with me. It ain't going to work. It's not going to function. You're not going to have the fullness of what I have for you because God will not share anything with the God of this world, the devil. And so we've got to understand the God of this world wants a little part of you as much as God of our heavenly kingdom wants all of you. The devil, he really doesn't really want all of you. He just wants a part of you. Because if he can just have a sliver of you, he knows that you're not fulfilling the fulfillment of what God says, I want all of you. And so the enemy says, if I can just have a small portion of you, you're not going to have the fullness of your heavenly Father. And then when you go through struggles and you're having situations you don't understand and you're saying, why am I not getting the blessings? You say you're a blessing God and blah, blah, blah. Ask him maybe, is it because I'm not fully surrendered to you, God? And I bet God's answer is going to probably come along like this. Yes, because you're not fully surrendered to me. As that study this morning in Sunday school said, you have not died to yourself totally yet. And until we die totally to ourselves, you've opened yourself up for struggles. But it's each one individually that has to deal with these things. So as we look at here, some things that we note in Acts chapter 1, all are continued. They continued with one accord. Many times we start out things and we don't fulfill them. We don't finish them. We stop halfway. But these all, verse 14, all continued with one accord. One accord. Full agreement. One mind. You can go on through that, and we're not going to dig into that, but they also had some business that they had to take care of, finding another disciple to replace that of Judas. But we get into chapter 2, we see with one accord again in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. A sound from heaven is heard, a mighty rushing wind. Verse 6, there's confusion, but verse 7, they were amazed and marveled. Verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13, you'll find that there's mockers. Anybody here been mocked since you've been serving that of God? And trying to tell people, even in your family, I go to church, I'm a believer, Christ is in my, all these things. They go, oh, you're so silly. Verse 14, Peter stands up to take charge. We find towards the end of chapter 2, the statement there of the since the first ascension, the need to repent is repeated. And then 3,000 souls or more were added. There's power in the Spirit. There's change that comes with the Holy Spirit. I do not have to change anyone's heart in here. It's only by that of the Holy Spirit and the wooing of God. So I'm not going to try to make you feel good and then say, now, here, sneak it in on you. Because that won't do any good. You just walk out of here more miserable than ever, probably come Monday morning. But we know that with the power of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church back in Acts 2, that there's a purpose for all of us. And as we have received Christ, as we have received the Holy Spirit, as we are going forth to make a difference, amen, in this world, I want to do all I can to share about the kingdom of God while I'm here. I want to encourage people. But I also, as that video said this Sunday morning back there, that sometimes even in our churches and pastors and individuals, we sometimes want to make it sound so good to be, you know, receive Jesus, say the sinner's prayer, and he's full of joy and full of grace and mercy and comfort and all of these fun things. It's almost like receive Jesus Christ and we're going to go to the water park. It's going to be a, you know, 24/7, 365-day vacation for the rest of your life. And it's not that at all. We need to tell them that, hey, hard times are coming. Or Jesus says, trials and tribulations will still be with you. But we don't want to tell people that. We want to just give them all the good stuff. And like that pastor and the guy that made that video and all that series, he says, you know, he felt like he was cheapening the gospel, trying to market the gospel. And we do a good job at marketing the gospel individually, one-on-one. I'm that way. Got to watch it. Got to pay attention. We find many churches out there, they love to market God, market salvation, market this, market that, market whatever, to get people to come. And I remember way back reading a book from Brother Hagin. It says this, it's like, just remember this, whatever you did, or whatever was going on at that time that brought people into your church, you're going to have to maintain that. Because once that thing, whatever brought them, stops or changes, there's probably a good chance that, guess who what? They're out of there. Now, unless the Lord does a mighty work upon them, their spirit changes, and all those things are possible. So we don't deny that. But I've shared with our pastor friends here in town every time we're always together every week. And not all the time I share this, but I always try to let them be aware that, you know, whatever you do to draw people to your church, chances are you better keep it maintained, because once there's not enough help to keep that program going and you got to let it go, the people are going to go, well, I got to go somewhere else now. Whatever the case might be. But that's marketing. Really, in respects, that's marketing. What gets you to go to any one of the stores in town? It's that ad on Sunday, or used to be, you know, what we got on sale. They want you to come in for that sale item and hope you buy some of the other stuff that's not on sale. Marketing. Then when they had an ad in those days, and you would go in and they only had, you know, 12 items, you know, and it's supposed to go all week. They go, oh, we sold out in the last, you know, in 5 minutes they're sold out. You know, it's called bait and switch. Do we have churches out there that bait and switch? That's not even my notes. This is just me rambling, which could be very dangerous. I better get back onto my notes. We've got to be careful how we advertise that of God, that he's a jealous God. He only wants you, and he wants you to want him above everything and anything else, above your family, above your job, above your toys. People don't like to hear that a lot of times. We find in chapter 3 where the first healing, really after Jesus ascended, a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was healed. He leaped up, stood, and walked into the temple praising God. We see marvelous things developing and taking place, and that was just the start. We know that Jesus did a lot of miracles while he was here, amen? But the only way that miracles were done when he was here is when he did what? Specifically prayed for that person, touched that person, whatever the case might be. Raising Lazarus, you know, raising the widow's daughter, or the daughter of the family, when Jesus was there. Now we find with that of the Holy Spirit with us, the power that Jesus has can flow through us, and by even us laying our hands on someone could instill that power to them. Not me, but the power through me. Peter, wasn't it, that by his mere shadow cast, healed people? But it wasn't the shadow, it wasn't Peter, it was that of God. And so God has an army, that's all of us. And the power that we have at our disposal is mightier than any kind of an atomic bomb that we could ever come up with, or missiles, or anything else. But you got to know how to arm it, you got to know how to aim it, and you got to know how to fire it. But we are a powerful person, individual, or church, with that of the Holy Spirit. The power upon high shall come upon you. The timing of the Holy Spirit came during the week known as the Feast of Weeks, or the Day of First Fruits. This festival was originally in celebration of the first fruits of the harvest. This is one of the three major Jewish festivals. Jewish men were required by law to go to Jerusalem three times each year to celebrate the following feast: unleavened bread in the spring, Pentecost or harvest, and then the tabernacle at the end of harvest or fall. And when we look at this in the coming of the Holy Spirit, there's three unmistakable signs. And what were those signs? And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You can go back, I'm kind of jumping ahead of my notes here, but in the Old Testament and Kings and Exodus and things of that nature, but back in the Old Testament, you can find where the children of Israel were led through the wilderness and all by that of a pillar of fire at night. We find that Moses was talking and God appeared to that of a fire in the bush. We find also, I think it was Elijah, now my mind is going all kinds of different stories here, but there was enough wind that it talked about the wind blew and it broke up the rocks on a mountain. That's a pretty strong wind. I have not seen a wind of nature, you know, blow rocks, you know, it'll do a lot of damage, but that's the power and the force that comes from that of God. So the sound of a rushing wind, Acts 2:2, the visibility of tongues of fire resting on each of the 120 gathered, Acts 2:3, speaking in a foreign language, Acts 2:4. The first two, the rushing wind and the tongues of fire, this was the fulfillment of John the Baptist's word that we find in Luke 3:16, when he said that the Holy Spirit would baptize with fire. John answered John 3:16 and said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap that I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." The prophet Joel spoke of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Joel 2:28-29. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." And we're like, why is it so important about tongues of fire? Now, we do realize that anything that God does and speaks on, there's a reason and a purpose, right? Now, sometimes we read it and we think nonchalantly, like, oh, that was cute. Oh, that's nice. Huh. And then as you get deeper or you think about it more or you continue to get, you know, times with God, you begin to find a commonality like, hey, this was spoken of here in this chapter in New Testament. Well, what about this back in the Old Testament and this and that and the times and the days and the hours and the time frames? But looking at the tongues of fire, tongues symbolize a speech and communication of the good news, while fire symbolizes God's purifying presence. And we hear about that, or the purifying of that, where, you know, it'll burn up wood and stubble and hay, and it's only those things that are precious that are going to remain, you know. Even with that of gold, it purifies gold, it melts it, and it gets rid of the impurities and things of that nature. So fire and all that has a divine purpose, really, to make things pure. In Exodus 19, verse 24 is where you'll find that consuming fire on the top of a mountain, where it, speaking of that, talking about fire in Exodus 19:3-2 talks about lard appeared in a burning bush. In Exodus 19, verses 16 and 18, God confirmed the validity of the Old Testament law with fire from heaven, which came down in one place, where we read the fire coming down at Pentecost. It came down on a lot of people at one time. This symbolizes God's presence is available to all and those that believe. Amen. You got to believe. You can't have doubt. You got to by faith. How do you know this, Tim? Have you seen it? No. But you believe it? Yes. How do you believe it? I read the scriptures of God. I read the word of God. And my spirit just, it says, I just believe it by that of faith. Well, how do you know you're saved and you're going to heaven? It's by faith, because I believe what God's word speaks about how to get to eternity is through that, what he says it is. It's all my walk, your walk, our walk, the church's walk is by faith. And we don't talk a lot of faith. We got to see it to believe it. But we got to walk it in faith. Our total walk with God is by faith. And sometimes we have to pray that, oh Lord, increase my faith. Increase my brother or my sister's faith. Help them, Lord, to believe and to understand these things, that it's not just hocus pocus, that it's not just a fairy tale that you want to read before you go to bed. Now we find that God speaks in many ways. 1 Kings 19:10 13, Elijah received a message from God. You'd go back to that, but there was a great wind. Nothing. An earthquake. Nothing. Fire. He spoke in that. What? Great wind, earthquake, fire. But then we also understand that God speaks in a gentle whisper. You'll find that back in 1 Kings 19:10 through 13. So God uses dramatic methods to work on our lives. I feel myself personally that I'm the closest with my God when I can hear his whisper rather than have him yell at me. Tim, go there. Okay, I hear you, Lord. I want to just hear God say, Tim, go there. Okay. I've shared this before. My intimacy with God, I want to be to where the point that I'm face to face with him in the spirit, that I can read his eyes, and by his eyes, they tell me what he wants me to do. That is close. But if you look at it in the natural as parents, your kids would look at your face when you were across the room and they were acting up. All you had to do was give them a face. Your eyes, your eyebrows, and cock your head. And the kids knew. All of a sudden, that, whoop, they got better because they knew what was going to happen. See, and I thought of that as natural and human things. And I thought, that's the way I want to be with you, my God, is that I can just look at you and by your facial expressions, whatever, that I'm intimate to know that I better settle down, I better change, I better sit down, or you want me to go that way. I love my God. And my God loves me. And he does the same for you, amen? But I encourage you to have a close relationship with him to where there is that intimacy and that relationship. You know, in your families, you know, as husbands and wives and those that have spouses and all that, you can tell when things are not right without any words being said. Sometimes it's just the sound of the cupboards opening and closing. So in the first century, there were some like 150 Jewish colonies there. Remember, this was a big feast time. This is one of the top three. So you had all these people coming in from over 150 Jewish colonies were established in major population centers throughout the Roman Empire. And many of these Jews from several of these areas, they would converge on into Jerusalem for this feast. And the crowds were stunned as each one heard what the Galilean men who were followers of Jesus, they began to speak in the understandable native language of their own region or their own area. They're speaking of tongues, the heavenly language. It's like, how? How is that guy, a Galilean, speaking my language that I'm way out of this area over here? It gets to that thing, but God. Anybody ever have one of those things, but God, in your life? How did that happen? But God. Oh, hallelujah. I hope you have a lot of but gods in your life. Amen. That's the greatest thing to be able to, you know, have a lot of scratches like, oh, I had a but God there. Ding, there's one. Nope, there's another one. There's another one. Ding, ding, ding. Because it just shows you that intimacy with God and God dealing with you individually. Oh, but God. But God came and he changed it. Oh, but God came and he made a way. Oh, but God closed that problem out of my life. So that's where we get into this language thing. It's like, well, why did that happen? What's the purpose of that? In Acts 2:14, standing up with the 11, raised his voice. This is, And he says what? Let's go to there. Acts 2:14. Peter. Because see, this is where the world mocks you. And others in verse 12 and 13, Acts 2:13. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Verse 13, others mocked, saying, oh, they're full of the new wine. They're drunk. Now we know, some of you back in your older days, you know, you could hear when somebody had a little bit too much. And their talking and all that was like a bunch of gibberish. And you go, I cannot even make sense of what you're saying. Slurring their words, speaking whatever. So these guys, these others now, because they're not touched by the Holy Spirit, they didn't have the tongues of fire fall upon their head, amen. But they're looking now from the outside in, saying, these people are crazy. They're speaking with this. They're drunk. But Peter stands up, verse 14, with the 11, and he raises his voice, and he says to the men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. These are not drunk as you suppose. Since it's only the third hour, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And it goes on to share through verse 16, 17, 18. This was spoken by the prophet Joel. All of these prophets and prophecies spoken in the Old Testament are unfolding in the New Testament many, many years, centuries apart. But these things, they can always go back from the New Testament. They can always go into the Old Testament somewhere and say, hang it on this prophecy that was spoken back in this book. Oh my goodness, that was 2,000 years. That was 1,500, whatever the case is. Yeah, but God's word, he knows. He knows the beginning to the end. By faith. But then it's not only by faith, but it is by faith. But I just go back and read some of the scriptures and some of the things that happened back in the Old Testament, and then you see it developing and unfolding in the New Testament. And there, in the natural, there's no rhyme or reason of how that could happen. And it wasn't just a shotgun prophecy like, you know, you could hang just a little bit about anything on something. It was direct prophecies of things that were going to happen, things that were going to take place, this was going to, whatever, where it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, who it's going to happen to, before these people were even born. God knows the future. And I encourage you today that God knows you, and when he set you here upon this earth, he has that plan still working out in your life. Do you believe that? And you have got to be close to God to fulfill that plan, to follow that plan, and he's going to bring you through it, amen? But how do I get through it when I'm going through all these struggles and problems? You get through it with the help of God. You get through it with the help of the Holy Spirit. You get, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you and tell you and change you and change your directions to keep you off of the path of the devil. Or the path of God that you're on, the devil knows that and he sees that and he's going to put things out there on that path to trip you up. He's going to put those orange barrels and things out there like we do in Wisconsin to change your direction, to change you over here, to detour you that way. But we've got to know that by that of the Spirit. To be wise with God, to be wise with the Spirit, to where the Spirit of God can speak and say, be careful, look out, don't go that way, or keep going that way. Even if it's a struggle, keep going that way. Many will give up, but I'm telling you, keep going that way, because that's where your victory is at. We lose our victory because we change and we don't fulfill what God has for us to fulfill. And then our life gets to be mediocre, haphazard. So be it. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future is mine. We got to be strong. Remember last week was Memorial Day and we had that, the battle belongs to the Lord. Your battle that you're in is not your battle. You just happen to be the player. But the battle is that of God, and God is going to battle through that. He's moving you through opposition. He's moving you through situations. He's moving you through. And we're going to have wounded. We're going to be hurting. We're going to have pain. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And you know what? We may even die. But as a child of God, I'm going to heaven. Amen. The victory is still mine. We've got to look at victory a little different than what we look at it in our own natural eyes. When I think of victory, it means I go and I plant a flag on a hill and this is my land. But it could be that of a child of God that I put up a fight, I put up a struggle, and I go to where I hear my God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, welcome home." But you're only 23, you're only 18, you're only 25, you're only 82, whatever the case is. I thought there was more for me. But just like how the devil thought he won when he had Jesus on the cross, the devil thinks he's winning when he's putting you down in the hospital. The devil thinks he's winning when he's got you on your deathbed. Man, we might need to change that deathbed to, hey, it's just my transport bed to go to life eternity. Amen. For I am not going to die. I'm going to live forever. I'm going to live forever. There's songs out there that keep coming to my mind. I just don't know all the words. That's okay. Maybe we need to change that phraseology to say, well, you know, poor Tim, he's on his deathbed. No, he's not, doctor. He's on his launching pad. That baby's going to go flying out of here. The devil says, you're defeated. You've lost. I'm taking you out of here. No, probably not. Probably God has taken me out of here to preserve me from any other pain and suffering and sorrow. And he says, "It's you've done well. Let's come home." Sad as it is, it's young lives as well. And we don't understand all of that. But I have to trust my God. And I've got to lean on him and believe in him and know that he knows better than I of all this that's happening. But it's the help of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. Don't you, when you're going through a time and you just sit maybe and like that, breath of heaven, breathe on me. You just sit there. Maybe you just need to take in some deep breaths. Hold it and then let it out. It's actually what you'll find in society. They talk about breathing exercises to help you with, you know, stresses and things. It's to bring your whole thing within you. So man has that figured out. God already had that figured out. And in our trials and situations, breathe deep. Hold it. Let it out. Praise God. Worship you, Father. Breath of God, breathe on me. Hallelujah. So what do we find the Holy Spirit doing? You know, it's powerful. We find the Holy Spirit, he teaches. We find that the Holy Spirit teaches, he encourages, he counsels, he prays for us. He helps us, he convicts us of sin. He brings new life into us. He gives us power to witness. He teaches us what to say. He enables us to find truth. All of this. And that's why Jesus told his disciples, "It is for your best interest that I go, so that the Comforter can come and lead you, guide you, speak truth to you." Many of us in our days of today, we hear so many things that we know that are totally way out there, and you know that they're totally lies. And I receive that only because I believe I'm hearing from that of the Holy Spirit to guide and lead me. And I can hear man, I don't care if it's the government or the news agency or whatever. There's things out there that when you hear, you know right in your spirit, like, that's a lie. What aren't the other people hearing? Was it just you and me, God? And it's only going to be a limited few that those that have the Holy Spirit within you, that you can be led and guided into the truth of the lies and deceptions of the evil of today. And the evil of the day isn't our government. All the evil of today is the devil. Just happens that he uses players just like God uses players. You know, there's a team for, you know, there's a devil team and there's a God team. You know, this is a battle that we're in. We're on the gridiron. We're fighting this thing out spiritually in the heavenlies. But yes, and trying to get that understanding is that that same thing in the spiritual and heavenlies that we're dealing with, we will see the reactions and the sometimes the evidence of it in the natural of things happening. So, you know, we pray against these things, we pray against that, we pray against that, but really what we got to do is we got to pray into the heavenlies to change the course of those things, that as it comes into this sphere of things, that it's changed into the natural. But when we see crazy things happening in the natural, we're going to stand against it. You can't have somebody say, well, Pastor, I thought you said everything that's all in the heavenlies and spiritual. If that's the case, why did this tragedy happen? Why did that happen? We're battling against these things. Well, yeah, in a way, but the real answer to getting it changed is, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And you, me, us here, this church, big, small, doesn't matter. We are here in the design purpose for that of God. And God says, don't look at numbers, don't look at ages, don't look at whatever. You just be faithful and do what I've asked you to do. And all of these things shall be added unto you. God will do the addition. God will do the subtraction. We just need to be there doing what God says for us to do. We've got to be doers of the word and not just hearers. In John 14:26, the helper comes alongside to help, a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, a standby. And so that the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. Anybody here needs some memory help? It's not just in whatever vitamins you can take. I tell you what, God's got the best source for helping your memory. Lord, touch my mind. Keep it alert. Keep it active. Amen. But that's, he's teaching us. And he's teaching us every day. I don't care if you're 85 years old. I don't care if you've been serving the Lord for 50 or 60 years. You are still learning. You are still changing. You are still growing. God still has things that you need to learn. Amen. We've got to get an understanding that I have not arrived. None of us have arrived until we go through those gates. We are here to continue on strong and to do what the Lord has asked us to do. But he teaches us. He encourages us. I love to be encouraged, don't you? Oh, hallelujah. Acts 9:31. So, this is amplified on radio. So the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace. Peace. That's peace without persecution. Being built up in wisdom, virtue, and faith, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort and an encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Fear the Lord, we got to fear the Lord, in a way of respecting the Lord, reverencing the Lord, right? I don't fear him because I'm afraid he's going to beat me up, or throw me out, or hit me with a big stick, or anything like that. I fear the Lord because I know he's my creator, and he breathed life into me, and he can take life out of me. How about you? But I respect him, but he encourages me. But it's through the Holy Spirit working in us. The counsel that we need. We have directions and things that we've got to decide. Amen? Any one of us, as I look in the room, most of us have gotten these things. I am so tired of seeing all of this stuff come through the mail for Medicare, Medicaid. You're there. You need to sign up. Check it out. We're the best. We can do this. Oh, so many ways to turn. Got frazzled when I had to sign up, at least initially, just because I reached that age, just so I could sign, here I am, you know, but I don't need anything you got. He counsels us. We need the counsel of God in our lives every day. We are making decisions every day. Amen? You're making decisions whether you get out of bed or not, believe it or not. And I will ask the Father, John 14:16, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, and a standby to be with you just on Mondays. Every day. It says, to be with you forever. Hallelujah. God wants to be with us forever through that of his teachings, his word. He wants to be with us through that of now, the Holy Spirit, really a part of our life now. I just love the Holy Spirit. That's what brought me over here to this church, back when it was Believer's Faith. And it wasn't the church I was at was bad. It was just that they were not delving into the Holy Spirit. And I felt in my spirit where I was at with God, I said, because I was reading the New Testament and a lot of things about Jesus. And I kept always going back to that part where Jesus says that I must go so that the Spirit can come. And I'm going, okay. And that's where we're at today, because in my life today, Jesus is not walking upon this earth, but now the Holy Spirit is. So I have got to get some understanding of this guy. And so through prayer and times, and we just turn ourselves over to God and say, lead us, Lord, where we need to go. And we had some you know, an invite by a person or something like that, and it's like we came here one time and this was it. I didn't need to find the Holy Spirit in church A, B, C, D, E, or whatever. It's just like all of a sudden we were just open to the Spirit's leading, and we trusted God, and one visit, sensing, I wanted to leave because I didn't understand what was going on with the Spirit. But God said, you ask, sit, and watch, and learn. And you're looking at a guy that when God says, sit, watch, listen, and learn, when it's my Heavenly Father speaking, and it's something that I've asked him that I want to learn, I better respect him enough to say, okay, I'm here. And it all turned out to what God had planned. But we need to know that he counsels us. He strengthens us. He's with us forever. He prays for us. How about that in Romans 8:27? And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes before God on behalf of God's people in accordance with God's will. You know, I've got a lot of desires. I have a lot of things that I would like. How about you? I know exactly what I want, exactly when I need it, and how much. But I had to put all that on the back burner and think like, no, I've got to trust God, and he knows what I need and what I'm going to have available to me. I just know that things in my life that I have asked God or not asked, I didn't even ask God. I was just thinking things that that's a pretty cool thing. I wish I had that, but I was a cheapskate. And I wasn't going to pay for anything like that because I felt like the finances and the money didn't warrant getting it. And then God brings those things to us through other means. The Holy Spirit helps us. He convicts us of sin. John 16, we talk about in 7 through 11, but in fact, it's best for you that I go away. Here it is, because if I don't go, the advocate, he won't come. If I don't go, if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. That's what gets the people changed hearts. It's not the programs of the church. It's not the things that we sell the people that come to our front door and come in and all that. That's, we're going to change your heart. You get in here and we're just going to work on you like a body shop. It's the Holy Spirit doing the work. And it speaks in his word too about being wooed by the Spirit. Be wooed by the Spirit. Amen. Woo upon the people, Lord, even here today. I've always found when the Holy Spirit woos me, I go, ooh, what is that? What is that, Lord? Ooh, I want more. Oh, Father, because I know he's a good, good Father. Ah, ooh, ooh. But he convicts of sin. And he had to tell that to all of us. You gotta clean that sin out of your life, Tim. How's that happen? Jesus, the cross, the blood, redemption. You gotta get that out first. He gives us new life, John 3:5-6. I tell you the truth, unless you are born from water and the Spirit, you cannot enter God's kingdom. Human life comes from human parents. Spiritual life comes from the Spirit. Oh, there's so much in regards to what the Holy Spirit does for us. How about for witnessing? Teaches us what to say. You know, we find those things about, well, I don't know. I don't go on the street corner and proclaim the things of God, but it's through our daily conversations or something with people and talking and all of this, and all of a sudden the Spirit will just share something, or you're sharing things and it touches their heart, touches their spirit in a way that it may answer a question that they had. And you don't even know that. Because then a lot of times they'll go, you know, just the other day I was thinking about that, or, you know, I was asking God, wow, that's interesting that you said that. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to surrender. I surrender all to thee. I surrender all. And if nothing else, as we look at this day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit calling and falling upon the people through that of wind, through that of fire, that we've got to be listening. We've got to receive from him. We've got to first ask him to come in. Amen. Fill us, Lord. Fill us. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you today, as every day, Lord, that you are the God of my life. And through you, Lord, I find life. Through you, Lord, I find answers to my questions. Through you, I find protection and guidance and strength and joy. But I also find, Lord, where you tenderly tell me, Lord, that, Tim, you've got to change that. Tim, you need to lay that down to be closer to me. Father, you are continually working upon us and ministering into our lives by that of the Holy Spirit. I pray for those here today, Lord, that they would be just encouraged through that of the Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, they hear from you in a way that they know that it is you, Father God. And that you guide us and lead us. We do this, Lord, to honor and to praise and to worship you and to bring glory to you, Lord, from those around us, Lord, that see what we're going through or to see how we're handling something, Lord. It's to say that, well, if it weren't by that of the grace of God, if it wasn't by that of the strength of God to help me through, I don't know what I would be or where I would be now. But it's just showing and talking and sharing with people just the reality of who you are. You're a God. You are the God, the Creator. And you work through that of creation. You work through that of Jesus. Then you're working through now that of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Father God. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you. We praise you, Lord. As today is Pentecost, if just encourage, well, I don't want to encourage you. I want to avail it to you by lifted hands or coming to the altar, whatever you feel comfortable with it, to have and to receive more of that of the Holy Spirit, to get a charge, hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit in your life, to have maybe the Holy Spirit enter into your life in a more deeper, meaningful way. We understand that as he comes, he wants to come in the fullness. Anything that God does, it's not just, well, I'm going to give you a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. God wants to just fill you totally with that of the Holy Spirit. And it's usually us that says, just give me about, you know, a third or a half. So if you want just the Holy Spirit touch, oh, you need to do something. I don't know. You might have to stand on your head just to say, here I am, God. You can raise your hand and say, here, Lord, just touch and bring more of the Spirit into my life. And if you want to speak in that of the language of tongues, you know, ask for the infilling of that from that of the Spirit of God. Amen. And he will give it to you. And you just begin to operate with it. It's just understand what it is. It's baby talk. No, it's the heavenly language. Loosen, free the tongue. Heavenly Father, right now, I just ask for your Spirit to pour upon us, Lord, to touch each and every one of us here, Lord. I pray for these people individually, Lord, right now, with their walk with you and where they're at with that of the Holy Spirit. Father, I and we all need more of the Holy Spirit. Father, there could be those that want the beginning of the Holy Spirit in their life. Those that want to have the infilling, Lord, and speaking in tongues. I just pray whatever the desire, people, of your hearts are today, God is here to meet that and to do that and to fulfill that in your life. Amen? Just ask. Be willing to say, here I am, Lord. Come and fill me. Oh, send your fire. Send your wind. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I'm praying, Lord. I want tongues, Lord God. I want that heavenly language, Lord. Help me loose my tongue. Loose my tongue. Hallelujah. Touch us. Fill us. More of you. More of you, Lord. Thank you, Father.